Good morning. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network. And in this first hour of today's program, we're going to talk about signing up for the Affordable Care Act. The deadline to sign up is fast approaching, and we'll talk about the process for using the healthcare exchange and healthcare.gov and all of that. It's all fodder for discussion. Had a news headline this morning you just heard on NPR that if you're in line for healthcare, you're in the process and you don't get it finished by the deadline, you can apply for an extension. We'll try to touch on that a little bit more as we go through the program. Joining me in the studio this morning is Sarah Valencia, Medical Clinical Operations Director at Access Community Healthcare Centers or Health Centers in Madison. Sarah, good morning. Welcome to the Joy Cardine program.
Good morning. Thank you.
All right. So there's it's safe to say that there is a ton of information out there, some of it good, a lot of it bad, concerning enrolling in a healthcare exchange. So let's talk first of all about some of the myths that are floating around out there as you've been helping people sign up for healthcare under the Affordable Care Act.
Sure. I would say the biggest myth that folks have is that they don't need health insurance. And it's very important that people have health insurance so that they can go to the doctor, receive preventive care. They have health insurance in case they have a medical emergency that comes up. So that's one of the biggest myths out there. Another myth is that it's unaffordable. And there is a lot of assistance available for people at many different income levels that help to make purchasing or receiving this health insurance an affordable process.
So they we still have a lot of people who still need to sign up here in Wisconsin. Some estimates are that there are over 400,000 who are eligible who haven't signed up yet. And obviously that's a lot of people to process in a short period of time. But there's still a lot of confusion. A lot of people say they don't have enough information to understand how the law will impact their own families. It's almost, given the amount of information that's out there, is the problem maybe that we've got too much information out there and it's just really hard for people to sift through what's true and what isn't?
Yes, I think there is a lot of information out there, and it's hard for people to put that information into their own family life reality. And so what I would say is the most important for families and individuals out there to remember is that the law is that you have health insurance coverage. And so in some way, shape, or form, your family needs to be covered, whether that be through Badger Care or Medicaid, through the marketplace, through employer-sponsored health insurance, or through Medicare.
Okay, let's talk about how people can get help. There are Affordable Health Care Act application counselors. Who are they and what do they do?
There are a couple types of helpers out there that can assist people with this process. The first one, those folks are called navigators, and there are just a few of those in the state of Wisconsin. There was a specific grant from the federal government that was given to some specific agencies for navigation. The second group of folks that's able to help people are called certified application counselors, and there are many more certified application counselors out there in the state of Wisconsin that are ready and available to help people. And you can go onto the marketplace.gov website to see where the closest certified application counselor would be in your location. There's also people that are called assisters, and so that's the third level. The navigators and the certified application counselors have gone through an extensive training and testing process with the Affordable Care Act. The assisters don't have as much regulation around what they had to do for trainings, but they still are an effective way to receive assistance.
Do you think people can be successful without all of this help?
Yes, the website, while it had its challenges in the beginning, now is working quite well. It's very easy to navigate. If folks don't have much experience with health insurance in general, that's when they might want to seek assistance. But if people have experience in purchasing health insurance or understand some of the language like deductibles, co-pays, those kinds of things, it's definitely a process that one could do on their own.
And these helpers that you talk about, what kind of training did they get?
So the certified application counselors is what I know most about. That's the staff that I have. And their training, they had to do 16 hours of a pre-licensing education and pass a written examination. Their training included 8 hours that was spent studying the principles of insurance, Wisconsin insurance laws, ethics, health insurance. They spent 4 hours studying Wisconsin public assistance programs, and they spent 4 hours studying the Affordable Care Act. In addition to that, which was a state-based training, they had to complete 5 hours of online federal training and take a federal test and pass that before they could get certified. Navigators received a similar training and testing process as well.
So how affordable are these plans? I mean, we've heard there's obviously an avalanche of information out there about all of this, and lots of different conflicting stories about people paying more, people paying less. How affordable are these plans?
Well, the cost of the plans vary based on your age, tobacco use, where you live, and your family size. And so many folks experience different prices given those different differences in their family structure. Then, depending on income, is also determines the price for a family or an individual. And so somebody who makes less than $11,600 a year, for example, can get on Badger Care, and that would cost them pretty much nothing except for a few copays. Then folks that make more than that per year would have different levels of assistance, and so would help to make their plans more affordable.
There's been a lot of effort spent in promoting the Affordable Care Act, encouraging people to sign up, some of it national. Each state has had its own kind of marketing plan. Can you talk a little bit about how the different states promoted the Affordable Care Act and, say, compare them to what we've seen here in Wisconsin?
I don't know much about the other states, but here in Wisconsin, it was really a grassroots push around the Affordable Care Act. A lot of nonprofits and other community organizations were really the ones pushing information about the Affordable Care Act out there for Wisconsin.
We're talking about the Affordable Care Act and offering, the deadline is coming up. It's next Monday. There was news this morning that if you're in the process, when the deadline hits, you'll be able to apply for an extension and avoid a penalty that way. And we'll remind you about that repeatedly throughout the program, since that's a brand new story that just popped up today. But we're talking about how to go about signing up for the Affordable Care Act, and we offer an opportunity for you to call in with your questions about this. Are you confused about how to sign up? Have you had some difficulty with the website? Have you been successful in signing up? We'd like to hear your story. What was your experience like? We'd love to hear from you this morning. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234 is the number to call to join the program. You can also use email, talk@wpr.org, and you can find the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook and leave your comment or question there. Sarah Valencia is my guest. She is the Medical Clinical Operations Director at Access Community Health Centers in Madison. She and I will be back in just a moment. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The deadline for signing up for Obamacare is fast approaching. It's next Monday, in fact. We're talking about the sign-up process for the health care exchanges this hour, and a reminder that if you're in the process, you will be able to apply for an extension. Sarah Valencia, let's talk about that a little bit. This just came up, so it's news to you as well as news to me. What I can gather from this is that if you're in the process of applying for care, for insurance, you can finish it. You can apply for an extension. What do you know about this?
Yes, I believe the reason that they're doing this extension is because there's some concern that the website might have difficulties again, given increased volume of people trying to sign up before the deadline. And so they're trying to put in place a way to help people be able to still meet their deadline in the case that the website does have some issues. And so essentially there will be a checkbox on the online application that says, I was trying to sign up before the deadline, and people will be able to check that box, and that would be what would give them the extension. And what I've read so far is that the extension would be until mid-April. That's all I know right now as far as when the actual date would be.
So basically, they're getting an extra couple of weeks to finish up their application.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we've got callers, as we expected. Let's start in Milwaukee, where Elizabeth is waiting to chat with us this morning. Elizabeth, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I had a question. I'm currently a college student, and I believe that I read somewhere that as long as you, because there's only three enrollment periods for school, the fall semester, the spring semester, and summer semester, I heard as long as you enroll sometime within the year, you won't be fined, even if that means that it's in the spring semester.
What I would say is that the law says that you need to be insured for the year. You can go up to 3 months per year without having insurance before you would receive a penalty. So if you have insurance through your school, through college, whenever that insurance were to end, if it would turn out that you were uninsured for less than 3 months for that year, you wouldn't receive a penalty. But if it looks like you would be uninsured for more than 3 months, I would recommend that you would go on to the marketplace.gov website to apply for some sort of insurance for those months that you would be uninsured.
Elizabeth, thanks for the question. Here's an email. This is a great question, and I'm sure this affects a lot of people. This email comes from CM, and CM asks, what happens if someone qualifies for Medicare this year? I'm all set up for Medicare to start on June 1st.
I would say if you're uninsured right now and June 1st is when Medicare would start, you can sign up for health insurance just to get you through to June 1st. If you have insurance now and Medicare will kick in June 1st, you don't need to do anything. If you have Medicare, you do not need to purchase anything through the marketplace. But if you're uninsured right now and need to get through to June 1st, then I would suggest going on to the marketplace to sign up for a health insurance plan.
All right. Thanks for that question. Let's see. Let's go to Kim in Toma next. Kim, thanks for joining us.
Hi. I have heard that there's a lot of problems with the computers, that it was never set up to be protected so that you can't be hacked into and all your private information, your identity theft is stolen within minutes after getting on the computer. This is just bogus. This was never, ever set up decently, ever. And he's changed it 37 frickin' times. What's that all about? And it's not really legal for him to be pulling this.
Okay, Kim, hang on. Let's have our guest respond. Are there security concerns with healthcare.gov?
We have not had any of our customers experience security concerns as of right now. We have felt very secure in putting the information on the application on the website.
Okay. 800-642-1234. We're talking about how to get on, how to get insurance through the exchanges. We're talking about the deadline is fast approaching for signing up for insurance under the Affordable Care Act. Let's go to Bob in Hazel Green. Bob, good morning.
Howdy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if there was a waiting list for Badger Care.
That's a great question, Bob. There was a waiting list for Badger Care. It was called the Badger Care Core Plan. And that waiting list is no longer there. And now anybody who has who doesn't have dependent children or who has dependent children that are under 100% of the poverty level, which for a single person would be making about $11,670 per year, can qualify and get onto Badger Care right away starting April 1st. And so there is no longer a waiting list. So if income for a single person is below $11,670 a year, or for a family size of two would be $15,730 per year, those folks will qualify for Badger Care and can get on starting April 1st.
Bob, thanks for that call. Here's a comment from James on Facebook. I found an affordable plan. It's not perfect, but now I know that if I get seriously sick or injured, I won't be driven into bankruptcy. Sarah, what has been the satisfaction rate for people after they sign up? Are people generally happy with what they get?
Yes, I think people are generally happy. There's a great sense of relief when people are able to find an affordable plan that their providers are, they can keep their same provider, they can afford the plan, and there's just this sense of relief from them that they know that they'll be covered in case there is a medical emergency.
And James says it's not perfect. What are some of the imperfections people may be finding in their plans?
You know, people will have a lot of decisions to make, and sometimes those decisions are difficult. You know, a high deductible versus a low deductible, higher copays or lower copays. Different things like that could make plans imperfect in some folks' minds because they have to make decisions based on what they can afford.
800-642-1234. Your questions about the Affordable Care Act answered here this morning on the Joy Cardine program. 800-642-1234. Talk at WPR.org. Talk at WPR.org. And the Joy Cardine Show is also on Facebook. You can leave your comment or question there. Let's go to Brandon in Ferryville next. Brandon, good morning.
Hi. My question is, I'm a college student, and I'll be graduating this May, but I'm wondering, can I still sign up after I come off my parents' plan this spring after the enrollment period has ended? And then I have one other question. Next year, starting in the fall, I'll be teaching in Bahrain in the Persian Gulf, and I'm not sure if I were to sign up for the Affordable Care Act, Would I need to find a different plan in Bahrain? Would I need to, is there some sort of international thing that I could use there? And I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
All right, Brandon, a couple of great questions there. So what about the first question? He's on his parents' insurance. He's going to graduate. Can he sign up after graduation?
Well, the first thing I would say about that is the Affordable Care Act allows for young adults to stay in their parents' health insurance through age 26, regardless of if they're in school or not. So just because Brandon may be graduating doesn't mean he necessarily has to come off of his parents' plan. But if he is 26 or does need to come off his parents' plan for whatever other reason, definitely he can sign up for the marketplace when that happens. That would be considered a qualifying event. And those qualifying events allow you to sign up for the marketplace at any time during the year when you experience that qualifying event. You would have 60 days from experiencing that event. It could be losing health insurance, the birth of a child, a divorce, a change in job. Whatever those qualifying events might be will allow that person to sign up for the marketplace during the year, even though it's not open enrollment period.
Brandon, and what about Brandon's second question? He's going to go to Bahrain next fall and teach. What happens then?
That's a great question. I'm not sure what programs or plans would be available internationally. I guess one thing I would look at is how long he might be out of the country. There probably would be an exception for him if he were out of the country for more than the 3 months and he didn't have insurance or something during those 3 months while he was out. There would likely be an exception made for his situation. I would say he could look at the plans available in his area and contact them and ask them if they would cover situations if something happened to him in Bahrain.
All right, Brandon, thanks for those questions. So there is a tax penalty if you don't get signed up, if you don't have coverage by the deadline. How much is the penalty? How does that work?
The penalty for 2014, and so what that means is if you go for more than 3 months out of the year 2014, if you go on 3 months uninsured, you would experience a penalty. For 2014, that penalty would be 1% of a person's income or $95 per adult, whichever is greater, with a maximum of $285 for a family for the year. That's assessed on somebody's taxes. And so it would be, you know, next February 2015, when somebody got all their W-2s, they're doing their taxes, there will be questions on the tax forms that ask about health insurance. Did you have health insurance during 2014? And if the answer is no for greater than 3 months, then on those taxes is when the person would see that penalty. So that's for 2014. In 2015, that increases to 2% of the person's income or $325 for an adult and a family maximum of $975. And then in 2016, it goes to 2.5% or $695 for an adult. And that's where it would remain.
Mm-hmm. So how can you be sure that you've properly complied with the law?
Make sure that you have health insurance. If you think you've signed up on the marketplace but haven't heard anything from the plan that you thought you signed up with, contact that plan. Otherwise, you just need to have that health insurance in place.
Mm-hmm. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, talk@WPR.org, and you can find the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook and leave a comment or question there. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act this hour with Sarah Valencia, Medical Clinical Operations Director at Access Community Health Centers in Madison. Sarah is here to answer your questions about the Affordable Care Act. Its deadline for signing up is fast approaching. There is a possibility of an extension if you're in the process of signing up. But it's important to get involved, get into the process on the web, or I believe you can also sign up on the phone. We'll clarify all of that in just a moment. We'll take a brief break for some news and come back and answer more of your questions about obtaining health care under the ACA. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:36. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Joy Cardine this week. This hour, we're talking about the looming deadline to sign up for Obamacare. It's coming up next week. You need to be signed up by April 1st. And we're talking about the process for getting coverage under the health care exchanges. My guest is Sarah Valencia, Medical Clinical Operations Director at Access Community Health Centers in Madison. Sarah, the rollout of healthcare.gov certainly was a big news story because the website pretty much crashed, and that did cause a lot of problems for people who were trying to sign up right away in October. Things have been fixed. It's running just fine now. Let's say that I tried signing up in October and just couldn't make it work. And maybe I just said, you know what, the heck with it. I'll just come back and do it later. Okay, so what advice would you have for somebody who's trying to come back into the system now?
I would suggest trying to use that same username and login information that you tried in October. But if you run into any sort of difficulties, what we've been recommending people do is just create a brand new user profile and it'll go very smoothly.
All right, let's take some more calls. And again, the number is 800-642-1234. We'll go to Rice Lake and we'll hear from Steve. Steve, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Say, I have a 20-year-old daughter who lives with me. She's a full-time student, and she's going to get married in May. And her fiance is working, but he has insurance through the exchange. Am I right? Is my daughter allowed to be on my plan after she is married until she's 26?
Yes, that is correct, Steve. Your daughter can be on your plan until she's 26. Her fiancé and future husband could not be, but your daughter can be on your plan.
So, sounds like a good wedding present. Honey, you get to stay on my insurance. Put it in a box. Steve, thanks for the call. We'll stay in Rice Lake. A couple of Rice Lake calls here. Mike is next. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I had insurance prior to this, and it was the cost was about $329 a month, and, you know, everything was fine. And then I got a letter saying that, you know, they're going to discontinue that, and if I wanted to stay with them, I could, but it was going to be $800 a month. And so that's when I went to the computer, sat down and read through everything, and then kind of made my decision kind of and came back to it later, signed up on the program. It took me 10 minutes to sign up. I went from $329 a month to $47 a month for the same exact coverage as I had before. It's, you know, it was so simple and easy. I just don't understand, you know, why people are delaying and waiting. It worked for me. And I talked to other people, and they haven't looked into it yet, and they're fretting and you know, getting all excited about it, but they haven't even looked on the computer yet, and I think that's pretty important, just to check it out, at least.
Mike, thanks for the call. I'm glad you had such a great experience. Sarah, is Mike's experience pretty typical?
Yes, absolutely. I think once somebody sees how easy it is to get on the website, how understandable it is, and how affordable it is, I think people have a similar experience that Mike had.
Well, here's somebody who had a different experience. Someone calling themselves CB sent us an email, and CB's email says, "The ACA is not affordable for me. The exchange is a joke. There's only one company offering plans in Wisconsin, and the lowest cost plan has such high deductibles and such lousy coverage. I've decided it is not worth the $200 plus that it will cost me every month, even with the subsidy. I have decided that it would be much less expensive to pay the penalty than to get insurance."
I would say that there are a number of health insurance plans in Wisconsin. Depends on where somebody lives. Here in Dane County, for example, we have 4 health insurance companies. They have multiple options available on the marketplace. It, again, depends on where somebody lives, depends on what insurance companies are available.
So are there places in Wisconsin where there are fewer choices?
Yes, there are. And that is determined by what health insurance companies are in that geographic area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, CB, we're sorry that you had a tough experience there. Let's hear from Bob in Viroqua next. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. Question, is it possible for an individual who is currently receiving insurance from their employer to drop that insurance and go through Obamacare? The reason being that somebody might want to do that is because, say, their deductible is too high or the insurance that they have to pay as their part is too high. Can they make that change?
The quick answer is yes, they can. What I would recommend is go onto the website and put your information in there, because it depends. There's an affordability test, it's called, and you'll enter in your income, and then you enter in how much you pay for that insurance, and it'll look to see if you're at a rate that the government would consider affordable. If it is affordable, the employer-sponsored health insurance, according to these calculations that the government uses, somebody can still choose to decline their employer-sponsored health insurance and go with something on the marketplace, but that person would not receive the premium tax credit or the assistance in paying the premium. It might be a good option for those folks, and definitely I'd recommend looking into it, but you might end up paying full price on the marketplace without getting that premium tax credit assistance that one would get otherwise.
Bob, thanks for the call. And that brings up another question. Let's talk a little bit about the assistance that people can get to help pay for their health insurance. What kinds of assistance are there, and how do they work?
There are 2 main types of insurance assistance. And the first one is called premium tax credits. And what that helps folks do is pay the monthly premiums. It depends on the family size and their income, would depend on how much premium tax credit assistance one could be eligible for. When somebody is eligible for that premium tax credit assistance, they have a decision to make if they want to receive that assistance on a monthly basis, or if they want to wait until they file their taxes to receive all of that assistance as a refund. And so an example would be if somebody's premium would be $200 a month, and they qualify for $100 a month premium tax credit assistance, they could choose to have the federal government write the check for $100 to the insurance company and the family write a check for $100 per month to the insurance company. And at the end of the year, reconcile on their taxes, how much they earned, what they paid, and did they repay enough? Did they receive the right amount of subsidy? Those types of things. Or a family could choose to pay the $200 in full each month, and at the end of the year when they do their taxes, they would get that about $1,200 back as a rebate back on their taxes. Mm. So that's the first type of assistance, is that premium tax credit assistance. The second type of assistance is called the cost-sharing subsidy, and that's for folks with lower incomes. And so people will likely could qualify for premium tax credit assistance and this cost-sharing subsidy, but the cost-sharing subsidy is for folks at even lower tax or lower income bracket. Okay. And that cost-sharing subsidy would help people, it would help lower deductibles and lower co-pays. And so there are those 2 major types of assistance.
Let's take a call from Jenny next. Jenny in Madison, go ahead.
Hi. First of all, that is exactly what I do. I have the premium tax credit, I think you called it. They're helping me pay for my insurance per month. My employer does offer it, but it was deemed too expensive. I could not afford it. So that's why I'm getting that. But I'd like to tell everybody that if you're having a problem, you know, whether it's with the website or whatever, call these people. They are friendly. They'll help you go through it. They walked me through it. It was no big deal. I definitely appreciate everything that I'm getting right now because it's helping incredibly. But call them. It's no big deal. It's not that hard to do. It's 15 to 25 minutes, depending, you know, on all the questions that you have to answer. And they're very informative and very helpful.
All right, Jenny, thanks for that. Thanks for that call. Another satisfied customer, I guess you could say. Let's take a break, and we'll come back. We have some more calls. There'll be room for you in just a moment at 800-642-1234. Sarah Valencia is with me. We're answering your questions about the Affordable Care Act. The deadline is coming up fast. You need to have insurance or be in the process of getting insurance by April 1st or pay a penalty. We'll continue our discussion in just a moment. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The Affordable Care Act is what we're talking about this hour, specifically the deadline for signing up being next Monday, and we're talking about how you can go about signing up, the process involved, and taking your questions. We'll go back to the phones. Bill is in South Milwaukee. We'll go to him first. Bill, thank you.
Thank you for a most timely and informative program. I appreciate it. I have an uneven income. I had to quit my job early to take care of an elderly mother who is suffering a lot. And so I have income only from investments, and some years I'll have a loss like last year and some years a gain. And I went to the website involved, and they told me that I had to go on to Badger Care, that I wasn't eligible for the exchanges. I estimated an income of $10,000 this year. Now, what line on 1040 or so do they base the income? And if I were to sign up and all of a sudden I had a good year in investments and yet $20,000, how would that affect Badger Care? And finally, is that three-month rule, does that apply to those who are not eligible for the exchanges?
All very good questions. I'll take the last one first. If your income is, if you're guessing it to be around $10,000, you would not be subject to the penalty. There is an income threshold that you have to make a certain income before you would even be assessed the penalty. And so that penalty would not likely apply to you. Regarding Badger Care, they base it on your current income. And so if this year you only had $10,000 in income, you'd get Badger Care for this year. And then if your income changes or when it changes, you would need to report those changes generally on a yearly basis to the state Medicaid office. And that's when they would determine if you're still eligible for Badger Care or if you would need to go onto the marketplace.
Bill, thanks for that. Those excellent questions. We've got another Bill also in Milwaukee. Let's go there next. Bill, good morning.
Yes, hi. My understanding is that the back end of the software that communicates with the insurance companies and provides them with the amounts owed to the insurance companies has not been developed yet, or is not completed. How this plan to just kind of casually say, well, we'll just give you this much money and then we'll figure it out later. Is that true? And if so, what type of impact will that have? And my other question is, what is going to be done for the people who have lost their critical cancer doctors and things like that, who are just devastated by what has happened to them and how their special doctor that's been keeping them alive is no longer able to be used?
I don't know too much about the back-end software and what's working and what's not working. What I do know is that the insurance companies are receiving enrollment information. They are able to get out welcome packets to new enrollees. New enrollees are making their payments. So I can't speak much to the back-end software IT topic because I don't know much about that. And the second question was about what to do when providers that somebody is used to seeing aren't in the network anymore. And, you know, what I would recommend there is that those folks really talk to those providers and ask if they would be willing to work with their new insurance company, or ask the insurance company if they would be willing to work with that particular provider and see if there's something that could be worked out in that way.
Is that a common problem?
You know, we haven't seen that as a problem here in Dane County, again, because all four of the large HMOs in Dane County do have products on the marketplace. And so those products cover all of the providers here in Dane County. I do know that it may be issues in other parts of the state where there aren't as many insurance companies participating.
Yeah, I would think in some of the less populated rural areas, that might be an issue.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And again, I would recommend that people communicate with their insurance companies and their providers to see if they can work out contracts with those providers and insurance companies.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So once you have a new insurance plan, do you have any suggestions for smoothly transferring over to using it?
Yes, I would definitely make sure that you've received some sort of communication from that insurance company, some sort of welcome packet, insurance cards. Make sure that your insurance cards are accurate, that your name is spelled correctly, your birth date is correct, that the information on that card is indeed correct. And then what I would recommend is call your doctor's office. Hopefully you were able to keep your same providers. Call that office, let them know that you have new health insurance. Give them the information on the card so that that's all set to go when you need to get in for your services. And then I'd recommend scheduling appointments to get your preventive services done that you need. You have insurance now, and it's best to get those preventive services completed.
All right, let's take another call. John in Oconto Falls, you'll be next. John, good morning.
Good morning. I have a question. If someone already has insurance, are you eligible to sign up for the Affordable Care Act as a co-insurance?
Anybody is eligible, any U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident is eligible to sign up for insurance on the marketplace. Again, if the insurance that you have currently is through your employer, they're going to do this affordability test to determine if you would be eligible for premium tax credits or not. You know, if you wanted to pay for two health insurance plans, I'm sure those insurance companies would welcome it. It's hard to say if that would be a benefit to you without knowing what your current insurance plan covers and those kinds of things. But definitely you could. I don't know financially if it would be a benefit.
John, thanks for the call. Deb in Minocqua is next. Deb, good morning.
Good morning. I live in a rural area and obviously way up north, and I want to change my job to work closer to home, because right now I drive 45 minutes to an hour to get to work, and I've got an opportunity to work 25 minutes away, but the company I would go to does not offer health insurance, and we are above the threshold for assistance from the government, so my husband and I would be expected to pay $816 a month, and that would be for a plan that gives $6,000. Deductible would be $6,000 per person and 20% copay. So it's inhibiting me from trying to get a job that's closer to my home. So I'm very disappointed.
What advice would you have for Deb, Sarah?
You know, that's a really tough and unfortunate situation. I don't have any advice, I think, that would help Deb feel any more comfortable. It sounds like it's a really hard family choice to make. And I would just look at, you know, what are you paying for your health insurance now, and what would that difference be if you have to drive less? I mean, look at other parts of your budget that might be impacted by driving less or working closer to home or those kinds of things to see if it could work out.
Let's go to Philip next in Milwaukee. Philip, good morning.
Morning. I just have a quick question. Are Native Americans who are on the rolls within their tribe in good standing exempt from the Affordable Care Act?
Yes.
Because we are historically covered by the government anyway for our health care.
Yes, and so the benefits for Native Americans will not be changing, and you will not be subject to any of the penalties or requiring to sign up for the Affordable Care Act because you are covered under your tribal benefits.
Philip, thanks for the call. We've got a couple of minutes left here, Sarah. Is there anything that we haven't brought up yet about getting coverage under the Affordable Care Act that we want to be sure to highlight before the end of the program?
I think we've covered pretty much everything. The biggest message is to go onto the website, see what you're eligible for, and then get signed up if that's what will work for your family.
And again, the process, you go to what, healthcare.gov?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for just a moment.
Yeah, you'd go to healthcare.gov or marketplace.gov. Either one of those websites will take you to the application. You put in your information, and it will guide you to the first kind of determination will be if you qualify for premium tax credit assistance or cost-sharing subsidies. And it would tell you if you qualify or not. And then you would go into the next stage, which would be looking at the plans. And it's almost like shopping at Amazon, where you get to see all of the plans. You get to see the different levels, the different deductibles, the different copays, those types of things. And then you would move into picking one of those plans and making your first payment.
And, well, if it's like Amazon, are there consumer reviews?
You know, not that I've seen. That's a good question. Maybe in the next year there will be.
Okay. And so what happens if I miss the deadline? When could I enroll again after April 1st?
You could enroll again if you have a life qualifying event that happens throughout the year. If you don't have a life qualifying event, you would have to wait until November 15th, which is when the next open enrollment period starts, and that would go until January 15th of 2015.
How can I get some help if I'm having a bit of trouble with this or if I have other questions?
When you go to healthcare.gov, there will be a link there to find certified application counselors or navigators in your area. And so you can click on that website link and see who's in your area to help. You can also call the 800 number that's on the marketplace.gov website. And those folks work for the marketplace and can help people enroll right over the phone.
All right. Sarah, thank you so much for an informative hour. I really appreciate you coming in this morning.
Yes, thank you.
Sarah Valencia is the Medical Clinical Operations Director at Access Community Health Centers in Madison. Robin Cherry produced this hour of programming and handled on-air production as well. Christy Taylor was the director. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine today. More to come on the Ideas Network. We'll talk about coal-fired power plants. Are they an endangered species? That's coming up after some news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.